So, review. Oh, my clicker is not good. Okay, review. What is, I forgot my animation. Of Scripture, what do we learn about Scripture? What do we know about Scripture?
God's Word and how He reveals Himself.
Perfect answer. It's God's Word and how He reveals Himself. What do we know about, what's the second one? God. What do you know about God and the Holy Trinity? Beautiful. What do we know about... Oh, it is working now. I just got click happy. All right. What do we know about God's decree? Someone else besides... Okay, good. It's eternal. Good. Head to Peter. He knows all things. Good. And then what do we know about His providence? God's... Oh, creation. My bad. I went out of order. Providence. What do we know about creation? Made all things in 7 days of ordinary length. And it's all good. And then providence, absolute control, protect, care. So we're laughing because Janelle's, quote, cheating, as she said. I'm going to tell you, repetition, in my opinion, is the key to learning. Even if you use your notes or your book or cheat or whatever, the more times you go over it, eventually, for most of us, by God's grace, it'll sink in and you'll know it. So that's why we do the review. All right, so now we're going to review the stuff we've gone over, the several words we've gone over up to this point. There's our statement that we're working through, digging in. Seduced means?
Led astray.
Led astray, beautiful. So remember, we're rewriting the deal with that. So seduced changed to our first parents were led away or astray, as Krista said. What's subtlety? Oh, my God. Clicking to click. Crafty, I heard it, yes. Crafty. So then we rewrite and say, first parents being led away by the craftiness and temptation. What's temptation mean?
Invitation to do wrong.
We had our cat there trying to steal a goldfish. There's supposed to be goldfish. There are goldfish in that bowl. You just can't see them in that picture. So then we rewrote it. Our first parents being led away by the craftiness and invitation to do something wrong of Satan, sinned in eating the forbidden fruit. What's forbidden mean?
Not allowed.
Beautiful. Okay, the not allowed fruit. Now we're getting in the second sentence, and I think this is where we left off at the not allowed last time, so we'll pick up today. This, their sin, God was pleased according to the wise and holy counsel. So what does counsel mean? Advice? What else?
Wisdom.
Direction?
Instruction?
What do you think of when you see the word counsel? Spelled like that, not with the C.
Yeah.
That's the other counsel. What did you say, Krista?
Grandpa.
Why? Why are you picking on him? Counseling. So what is counseling? What does he do when he counsels? Okay, what does that mean?
There's modifiers before that.
There are.
Give you what kind of counsel.
Correct. It was wise and holy counsel. But what does he do when he counsels? You said he counsels. What does that mean? What does that mean?
Provide direction.
Does he give him food?
No, he provides the word of God.
Word of God? What did you say? Direction? Advice?
Direction.
Does he tell people what to do, do you think, when he counsels?
No.
Sometimes.
Maybe sometimes, probably. Give some homework. Right. So what do you think the goal of a counselor is?
Instruct.
To what end?
Send
people in the right direction. So who should end up acting?
The counselee.
The counselee, right? The person being counseled, not the counselor. Poor counselors tell people what to do. You need to. And I think about diet a lot. You know what you need to do? Real easy for you to tell me that, but in the moment when I want that donut, that doesn't really help me. I understand the thought process of it. But a good counselor is going to give me some techniques and some tools to use when I'm in the moment to act, because it's my job to act. They're going to give me advice. I heard all the words, advice and instruction and all that, to counsel me where to go. The picture I have to help me remember is, that's supposed to be a doctor. He's got a stethoscope on. And a good doctor, I believe, gives counsel. And a lot of times, I would say, especially in today's medical profession, it ebbs and flows. but I think it goes where doctors are the authority on everything, and you have to do everything they say, to doctors don't know anything, to they're the authority. And I think back to an ad I have from the 50s, probably, maybe 40s, and it says, 4 out of 5 doctors recommend smoking Camels. It's an actual ad. It's they're smoother and they're better for you, and they're like, wait, what? And we laugh at that now. Yeah, it had things like that. It helps you get your lung full capacity to, you know, I don't know what it said, but it was compelling. Well, the 4 out of 5 doctors, that's compelling. I should smoke some Camels because that sounds pretty good. There's even one that has an infant in the ad. There's a little baby there. The dad's holding a baby or something, and it's an ad for smoking. It's like, wow, that's crazy. Is that counsel? It's poor counsel. Is it wise, if we go back to what this is, it wise and holy counsel? Smoke cigarettes? No. But it's still counsel. And so what's important about this is, and Rick already said it, it's the two words that come before. It's wise and holy counsel. Have you ever been given bad counsel by someone?
Yes.
Can you think of an example that you'd be willing to share? And it usually starts with, you know what you need to do.
Going to traffic school because I had taken my own counsel as far as how fast I was. But I went to traffic school, and the instructor, who was, it was supposed to be like comedy traffic school or something like that, was not answering a question, was giving counsel about what a full stop means. And finally, we asked, because there's people that oversee it, we asked someone else. So he gave counsel of full stop means, and I don't even remember what it was, but it was wrong.
Right.
And somebody had to come back and correct it. So they gave that counsel, and if we would have followed that counsel about what a full stop means,
got it.
We would have been there.
Were you going to share counseling, poor counsel?
Yes, there's a group of people on most college campuses that are called counselors. And they are notorious for providing advice that will not lead you towards your given academic objectives.
Yes.
They steer you away from it and tell you they're not. And I have heard many, many stories of, and have been part of seeing and personal experience where, you know, here's what I want to do with my academic whatever, and the counselor goes, okay, well, here's this, you know, here's what you're going to want to look for, and here's the steps, and it sounds really good. And then you get about 30-40% of the way down that, or some part of the way down that, and someone who's gone through it or is at the end of your goal looks at you and goes, no, none of that is right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's counsel.
Mm-hmm.
It's got the name counselor on the mm-hmm. business card, but it is not wise or holy or even generally helpful in a secular sense.
Right, and I think what's interesting about that one is that person is a so-called expert because they are a counselor and will often take the advice of a vetted, I don't know what the word is, an official, a counselor, over a lay person. And I think of expertise when I think of this counseling. A lot of folks that are equipped to give counsel have some experience and some expertise. They live some life. So who would you be more willing to take counsel from, a 15-year-old or a 60-year-old? Does it have to be? That's where I was going to go. I thought somebody would say, well, it depends on what's the subject matter. What are you talking about? It's a good point. It has to do with technology. Who would you pick up on?
Krista or Rick.
Yeah.
He's not 15, but...
Well, but that's the point, is that what is the subject matter you're dealing with? Go to the people that is an expert. So age doesn't make you a great counselor. And I can tell you, I work with lots of folks that are in their 40s and 50s that would not make good counselors, just how they live their life and what they do with their finances and how they treat one another. They're not somebody I would look at as a counselor, but they're 50, versus there's other people that in the same plant that I probably are in their 20s. See, one that's 22 that I'd take his counsel over the other ones, yes.
You hopefully will remember the young man in Job who called
Elihu.
Like
who
that.
I someone will correct me on the quote, but it's something of a quote about just because you're old doesn't mean you're wise.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where it speaks to, you know, this is wise and holy counsel. They were giving counsel to Job.
Mm-hmm.
Job was counseling himself. And Elihu says, all of your so-called qualifications to be giving wise and holy counsel mean that doesn't mean you're giving wise and holy counsel. Mm-hmm. The counsel you're giving is not of God.
Yeah, exactly. And bringing it home to Seth, did you get any counsel yesterday from anybody?
Yeah.
A lot or a little bit?
I don't know.
Was it wise and holy? Like how to tie a knot and stuff like that? That's counsel. One of the things that we talked about actually on the hike was my wife was not really excited about Seth and I doing this hike. And then we added somebody to the mix, and she was fine after that because the guy we added was he climbs rocks. That's what he does, like all the time. He's super fit and he's got all the accoutrements and all this stuff. At that point, she was, okay, we're going to be okay. So do you think my wife believes I have wise and holy counsel when it comes to rock climbing? Chris is doing this. And so what she was hoping he would do was give me counsel, wise counsel on there. Right? You shouldn't step there. You shouldn't do this. You should tie it this way. So it's even in day-to-day things and things like, you know what you should do with that taco, Rick? You should put some hot sauce on that thing. That really makes it good. Is that wise counsel for Krista? Yes. But for Rick? Probably not. So if you come back to this, who's the counsel from? In this,
God.
It's from God. So can we be pretty sure that it's wise and holy?
No.
How do we know that?
That defines God.
Because God is wise and he's holy. And if you go back to the first chapter, what I'm trying to point out is these all build on one another. If you go back to the first chapter that talks about God, not the first chapter, but the first one that talks about God. Yeah, it talks about who he is. Okay, we know he's wise and holy. Okay, he's giving counsel. It's going to be wise and holy. All right, so back to the point. Point is, counsel we're going to define as advice or instruction, directing another consultation. Go ahead, Joey.
I know I've learned a lot through Bob. I'm counseling in my own way, but I've learned through Bob, and most of the people that I deal with are alcoholics or drug addicts or wife beaters, and sometimes I counsel. I don't call it a coward way, but in order to get their wake up call, I said, without Christ, I can't do nothing. And I said, with Christ, I have to share what God's done in my life for an example for you. I said, but I'm not any better than you. I said, it's God that's with me. I have all of that inside me buried. I said, but I've been there. I know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And I said, but God knows what he's talking about. That's how I learned it.
Yeah.
And one thing that I have learned that I was going to say through Bob is when we counsel, we do more counseling now than we did when we were in the world. I didn't think we counseled anybody in the world. I didn't.
I think you did.
Well, maybe so.
Here's some counsel, Joey. Hey, bro, I got to go, man. My wife's going to be mad. Here's you counseling. No, let's have one more drink, man. Just one more. Did you ever do that? That's counsel. It's unwise and it's not holy counsel, but that's counsel. I'm disagreeing. I think we counsel all the time. We just don't realize that it's counsel. It's giving advice or instruction. Here's what you should do. You don't need to spread that ladder all the way out. Just kind of lead it up against the tree. I've done it 100 times. That's giving somebody counsel on that.
The part that I have to grow out of it, if I was you, I think I don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you... I tell Lupe, I said, when I say that, it makes me feel like I'm a lot higher than that guy. If I was you, it makes a lot smart if I was you.
Gotcha.
But I've learned through with Bob's teaching, it's easier to counsel if you pray first.
Oh, yeah.
For number one, then read the scriptures and find something that's going to fit the problem that's going on. So it's not you that's saying it, it's God's word.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that part of somebody told me one time, don't be mad at me, be mad at God. He's the one that put it in my heart to tell you. Don't be mad at me.
Yeah.
I said, I have to share it because I'm commanded to share it. But the deal is, Bob had me one time, I could never figure out why he did that, but I guess being hard-headed and not so, he always told me, he'd take it out and he said, read this to me.
Mm-hmm.
Then I said, well, it says that. I think a couple of times he said, read it again. In other words, you're not getting it. And when I didn't get it the second time, he read it to me.
Mm-hmm.
and shared what it really meant. And sometimes I think I didn't want to know what it meant.
Yeah, probably. Probably. So in terms of when we counsel others, experience can be a good foundation for counsel, but back to your point, that it's based on the Bible. And so I have lots of principles that I've learned over the years that are effective. And now what my challenge is at this stage in my life and career is figuring out, are those biblical or not? And so I'm looking at a lot of things that I take as truisms because I know they work. Leadership stuff I'm talking about. I'm saying, okay, is this biblical? And at work, I'm trying to build our vision and values in the plant based on Scripture. I don't have the Scriptures written there because IP frowns on that. But I think I've told this in this class before. I'm tickled when people come up to me and go, that's from the Bible. That's from the Bible. It is? Where is it? Where is it in the Bible? Wow. And it's usually somebody that's familiar with Scripture. And some people are hostile against it. Some people don't like it. You shouldn't do that. That's in the Bible. Okay. That's A. B, Joey, to your point, I think one of the things that we can do is just, it's humility is what it starts with, is work on our delivery. And one of the things I try to do is say, you know, Kyle's going to do something silly. I say, Kyle, you know, probably okay for you to do that. Let me tell you a story about me, though. Blah, 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 blah. This happened and bad things happened when I did that. So it might be something you want to think about is, you know, that you could end up in a bad way if you do this. And just leave it like that. That's giving advice and counsel. That's why I said without telling them what to do. Because I can tell you from experience, when I tell people what to do, 90% get defensive right away. You know what you need to do? And immediately this wall goes up. Who are you to tell me what to do? They want to know my credibility. How long have you been doing this? And what do you know? And who told you you can tell me what to do? And who put you in charge? Go ahead.
The only thing better than that is saying what you should have done.
Yeah. By better in quotes, right? Yeah. You know, you should have done. If you were smart. Yeah. Exactly. It's telling stories. I just clicked with me when Liz said that. Rick and I worked with a guy that would start sentences like this. You know, if you were smart. And then he'd finish the sentence, which you're kind of, you have no alternative. It's like, well, I'm either dumb or I do what he says, which is a brilliant manipulation technique. Yeah, anybody that has half a brain knows, and then they say whatever, and then you're like, oh, I must be stupid. And then the Latin root of this word is consilium, it's advice. And we get the word counsel and consultation from that, so I put the doctor. So counsel has to do with advice or instruction, in this case, wise and holy. So now it says, our first parents being led away by the subtlety and ten invitation to do something wrong of Satan, sinned in eating the not allowed fruit. This, their sin, God was pleased to... I messed that one up twice. This, their sin, God was pleased, according to his wise and holy counsel, wise and holy advice and instruction, to permit. What does that mean? It's a piece of paper that says you can drive a car when you're 15, right? You guys are too good. You're too good.
Advice?
Yeah, advice and instruction. Advice and instruction. If you want to shorten to advice, maybe I'll do that next time. Just change it to advice. It has more to do with that.
I would submit instruction because the one giving it is authority.
Okay. I'll buy that.
Mm-hmm. There can be counsel from someone that's just giving an opinion or advice that's not binding. In the case here, God, according to his wise and holy instruction, what he told them was not a suggestion. What he told them was instruction. Do not do this. Don't put your hand in on a hot stove.
Yeah. So permit, you guys got it already. Allow. There you go. To allow to do something. There's the Latin. It's through let go. I don't know what that means, but what would be an antonym of this? The opposite of this word.
Forbidden.
There you go. Forbidden. Didn't we already have that one earlier? Right. So if you go back, well, let's go to the next one. We have forbidden up there already. Watch this. Led away by the subtlety and temptation, Satan sinned by eating the not allowed fruit, and then to allow. So God allowed this to happen. I can tell you there's people that have a problem with that, and I've argued with them about it. If God was a loving God, why did he let sin into the world? And we're not going to digress there unless you want to, but I've come across that before. Having purposed to order it to his own glory. What does purposed mean?
Plan.
Say it.
Plan.
Planned. What else?
Intent.
Intended, ordained. Those are all big words. Remember, we're trying to do this Hawaiian style, ghetto style.
Meant to happen.
Let's just take away the ED. Let's say, what's the purpose? If you say purpose, goal, right? If we say, what is our purpose? What is our goal or our? I'll show you the picture I used to help me remember it, I think. Opposite of patient shot. What's he doing?
Target.
Yeah, but he's going to hit the target no matter what?
Aim.
Yeah, you got to aim, right? So is the purpose and the aim? You could say goal. I like goal, too. But I came up with aim. So to set as an aim, intention, or goal. And I chose aim because I couldn't find a good picture for goal. That's why. But aim or goal. They both work. And then it comes from the old French word up there that propose, to put the idea or plan forward, to put it in place. So it's not just talking about it, it's acting on it, doing something with it. What do you want to end up with? Liz?
Can you go back to the have it in context real quick?
Mm-hmm.
I've always kind of thought in God, allowing the fall to happen, I've always heard people, at least teachers that I've trusted, use the word ordained.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Uh-huh. It was the direction, right?
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if I like being.
What would you say ordained? Because we've got to explain this to a
ordained,
5-year-old.
You have the same problem with more
right.
Word.
Intended, okay. Having that's still a big word.
I'm not sure what I'm trying to say.
I think I understand what you're saying. I just don't have anything to say back to you. You got something to say? I see a hand back there.
Well, the phrase.
No, behind you, but go ahead.
I think one word that especially conveys the authority behind the purpose is decreed.
Okay. If I was 5-year-old, what would you tell me a decree was?
Something an authoritative person.
Oh, authoritative. I don't know that word.
Them.
I don't know that word. I'm 5. I'm 5 years old. Authoritative does not.
Yeah, it says something, you better do it.
Hear that? Is that good? Yeah. It is, or else, right? Or, here's the consequences you're going to have. So I'm taking notes here.
Yeah. So possibly, Ben, to get it to that succinct and tight, we work on purpose to order, because I think that phrase, purpose to order it,
mm-hmm.
is... I think you could replace that whole, again, going to a childlike, which is my level, understanding.
Mm-hmm.
So purpose to order, that phrase right there is probably...
Having planned it to his own glory.
Yeah.
Planned? So did he plan this? He had it planned out?
Yeah.
How do you know that?
So.
What about the previous chapter? I like that. Yes.
God allowed it to happen because he was going to use it for his own glory, not that he decreed him to have. I think there's an important distinction.
Having planned to use it to his own glory?
Something like that. He did plan it, but I think there's a... I'm thinking there's a distinction that's important. I could be wrong.
You could be right, too. I have no comment. I'm authoritative because I'm standing up here, but I don't have the answer. So. You said having planned to use it for his own glory.
Having planned to use it to his own glory. Having, well, let's see, the order, when I see order here, I see, so if I'm reading it, I'm going to change the word order. Having purposed to arrange it to his own glory. That's how I see order, not order as in deliver an order.
But I was trying to change the word purpose.
So having planned to arrange it to his own glory.
I'd like to put it instead of
go ahead.
All. So having planned to, see, so it should be changed to all.
Let's get the Westminster Confessor something.
We're talking about the fall.
Are we talking about the fall?
Well, yeah.
Right, because God allowed the fall to happen.
What? Taking this thing apart is how we're going to learn.
It is. My side comment, I want to come right back to this. Somebody said the Westminster, let's get them on the phone. Guess what their conversations were like? In my mind's eye, this is exactly what I said. No. And they were more venerated, more, you know, scholarly than we were. They weren't just a bunch of people from Hanford and, you know, sitting in pews. No, they were, no offense to us, but, you know. Yeah, but I mean, they were, I'm guessing they mixed it up and said, no, all, it's it. And Mr. Hoffman's is wrong. It's got to be it. No, I agree with Mr. Hoffman's. I'd like to speak to the point that Mr. Hoffman's just made. It should be all and it. And there's probably like me in the back going, oh, you're killing me. Can we just love one another? So back, all, it. I got too much written now. So you said, Bill, change all to it. I don't see all up there. Oh, you're okay.
But we were talking about
Now you're messing with the Westminster people too. So.
What he means is the fall. So it's right, having purpose to order the fall.
Yeah. I agree with that. I must cross that out. Sorry, Bill. I disagree. I disagree with you now.
So, having the intent to point to his own glory.
Or his goal.
His goal, having the goal to point to his own glory.
Or his aim, would you say?
Yeah, but I think the second word order is the modifier.
I agree. I'm coming back to this. This is where I came up with that because of what you just said.
Yeah. Having the aim to point, aim and point.
Right. And that's the part where I didn't explain it well because that wasn't his goal overarching, was to say, hey, I'm going to invent sin so I can have glory. He was saying, because this sin will happen, I'm going to make it point to my own glory. I'm going to use the sin to my glory.
I
keep going?
I think it helps. I think what Rick was saying that in redefining order as well, or not redefining, but clarifying order as well as purpose.
Uh-huh. What instead of order? Okay, so how about aim to use? Instead of.
It being sin.
Mm-hmm.
The fall. Having aim to point it to his own glory.
But is point for order, are we swapping order with point? Because I see order as a range or plan. Having aim to plan it to his own glory.
He said use. This is what you said. You said instead of purpose to order, aim to use. Having aimed to use it to his own glory versus having purposed it to order.
All right.
The fall. Having aimed to use the fall for his own glory. I'm circling that one. All right. So not to be wrong, but... Our first parents being led away by the craftiness and invitation to do something wrong of Satan's sin by eating the not allowed fruit. This God, you know what, I'm going to do this. Let's do it. Our first parents being
led
away by the craftiness and
invitation to do
something wrong of Satan's sin by eating the not allowed fruit. This, their sin, God was pleased according to his wise and holy
instruction
and advice to allow, good. don't even try, because I wrote in there, set as a goal. Having set as a goal to order it to his own glory. And the reason that I wrote that at the time, because what I was in my little brain was thinking, it's the goal for God in everything he does is what?
For
his own glory. That's our goal too, for his own glory. So do you think God has a goal to establish his glory, to show his glory? Yes, in everything that he does. That's what it is. That's where I came up with that. But I appreciate the discussion. I put this up here. I'm skipping it. Because the reason I put it up there, well, no, we'll go through it. We're not going to dwell on it a long time because I think it digresses us a little bit. It came up in there because there's a section on neo-orthodoxy, and then he goes into a rabbit trail, I think. Joey, were you going to say something?
Yeah, I just want to get my head right.
Okay. Can we come back to this?
I got kind of mixed up with everything. I'm confused with that because it's not like my goal is to do this. My goal is it's already done in his world. It's up to the individual to go right on.
Yeah, I struggle with it too, Joey. I can't understand it. The best analogy I can give you, and it's not a good one, is if I'm going to sit down, my goal is to sit down in this chair. I know it's going to happen because I've sat in a chair X amount of times and I'm not God, but it's a whole nother level up. And I struggle with it too. How does he, now you're getting deep. Now you're talking, why are we even here? Why did he create us in the first place for his own glory? Well, he's God. He could make up his own glory. He can do anything. And to me, that's a mystery that I still don't have my mind wrapped around. Right.
He already knows what's going to happen. When we go for gold, we don't know what's going to happen. We have to work up.
Exactly.
So I guess I'm kind of confused. You know what? I think a lot of times happens to me. I think I try to put it in a wording perspective.
You do. And I do too. But if you go back to, I'm not going to click all the way back because like 700 clicks. If you go back to the previous chapters, I think that's why it's important the way they wrote this, is he talks about God's decree and providence. And if you go back and study those ones again, by the way, if you're going to go through this book properly, you're going to go and then you're going to go back. And then you go, oh, I have to go back. I have to go back. Because it all builds on one another. If you know what his decree and his providence are, that talks about the goal, my word, in two whole chapters. So it's not just something you can spit out. Bob.
I think there's a trap potentially for us that men for centuries have sought to try to figure out exactly how you can have a sovereign God decreeing that there's sin, and yet he's not responsible for it.
Yeah.
And every time that philosophers and theologians try to squeeze down to the nub of that, they fail. And what happens is people end up, if they try to reconcile them, they end up either overemphasizing the sovereignty of God or overemphasizing the responsibility of man. And there's a faith issue there. That's a theological faith issue. We have to accept they're both true. And God did decree the fall, and he's not responsible for it. And beyond that, we cannot go.
Well, I'm asking the group, why do we struggle with that? The group, not you. I'm asking, hang on. Why do we struggle with that? It's a one-word answer, by the way. It's three letters.
Sin.
We can't understand it because our sinful, we'll talk about that next week probably. We lack the capacity to think like God because sin pollutes everything we do. Told the smartest person in the world, their intellect maybe not be altered by their sin, meaning their capacity to do cognitive processing, but their sin at the start of the start of the start of when they start to think. And so right there we've got trouble. Mr. Goddard.
Well, I would say that time and time again in Scripture, the words, the language that's used both in the Old and the New Covenant points to the relationship that we have with our parents as children, and because that's an example we can understand. Little Jem is sitting over here on Deb's lap, and her family has pretty much absolute control over her, obviously not with her health in other ways in every aspect, but control over her.
Right.
And she can't understand, and sometimes she cries because she wants something that's different than what she needs. And as we grow and gain more and more understanding, the aspects of rebellion come in, right? Through, sure. through the adolescent years and things like that. And the Bible points to that, and that's why we are to look at him as our father.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are to see those attributes and understand that he has our best in his mind. That's the comforting part. But that his plan, that's the providence part, his plan is foreordained and set into mm-hmm. place. So when we raise children, we have a plan for our children to raise them in certain ways.
Or a goal, to use Joey's word.
Yep, yep. And whether it's homeschooling them or whatever we do, we have this plan. Mm-hmm. And we have an idea of what the outcome is. Again, the analogy breaks down because we're
yeah.
mortals.
We don't know, right.
But we have this plan for them, whether they know it or not.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. All right, I'm going to click quickly through Neo-Orthodoxy because it's in the book, but like I said, I won't dwell on it. What does Neo-Orthodoxy mean? Anybody want to take a stab at it?
New Orthodoxy.
Somebody trying to be Orthodox. New straight thing is literally what it is. So here's what Neo-Orthodoxy means. Whoo! Like I said, we're going to go through this. Conforming to approved doctrine, a movement in Protestant theology beginning after World War I, stressing the absolute sovereignty of God and chiefly characterized by reaction against liberal theology and reaffirmation of certain doctrines of Reformation. Bob referred to a piece of this earlier in this left ditch, right ditch, and it was people fighting against something else that was going on in the country at the time. I'm not going to digress into that unless you guys choose to next week because I'm out of time. But next week we'll start in section 6.2. So we're through section 6.1. So we've now done that. I'll wordsmith that. I'll attempt to wordsmith back to what we talked about.
A quick question.
Yes.
Do we like New Orthodox or not? That was one thing. Okay. Thank you.
You're accepting wise and holy counsel, I believe, but I would not accept that with just Barbara saying yes. No offense to Barbara, and I agree with her, but okay, so maybe we'll talk about it next week.
Then, if we're some,
orthodontist, braces, ortho means straight, so he's orthodontist, he's got braces on his teeth, straight teeth, so straight opinion, straight doxology. So do we need to go over that next week?
I think just a really quick...
Okay.
Right now.
Okay, we'll do it then. All right. Let's pray, because I'm way over. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for the interest in the...